giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now the words I have just read to you, dear listener, do not belong to everybody. They are found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14, but they are the private property of the children of God. They are part of the title deed of their inheritance. Now I turn to these verses today, in these few moments with the book, with a desire that the fourfold blessing that is unfolded for us is the inheritance of the children of God therein, that is, the saved ones, the born-again ones, the true Christians, that these blessings will be used by the Spirit of God to awaken in every listener a desire to be one of God's own dear children. And this can be your portion through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God, dear listener, the heart and the home of our Heavenly Father are thrown wide open to you, and by his grace, you may be one of his dear children, and you may have the full assurance that the children's blessings are yours. Now I trust that you will not in the least be indifferent to this today. The eternal blessing of your never-dying, immortal soul is in the balance. Will you not, I ask, give closest attention to this wonderful portion of the children of God in this passage of Scripture? Found in Colossians 1, again I repeat, verses 12, 13, and 14. And you'll notice, in these verses, we're going to see that the children of God are a people, first, whose sins are forgiven. Second, who have redemption in him. Third, who are delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of the Father's love. And fourth, the children of God are those who are made fit for the glory. What a wealth of blessing! And mark, it is all in connection with a person. The Son of his love is really the translation of the words, his dear Son. The Son of his love in whom we have these blessings. It's through and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that these blessings are ours, and they are offered to you in him. In him, the one who is the creator of all things, the Son of God. The one who is the mighty victor of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is the Savior of sinners. The one who stooped so low to secure at infinite cost, first of all, glory for God in regards to the whole question of sin. And dear listening friend, blessing for you and for all who will believe on his name. Oh, I tell you, there is a person who can meet all your need, and one who can bring the brightness of his love into your very heart. You need him, and I trust that you will desire him. Oh, if you knew that person, the Lord Jesus, you could not help trusting him. And I tell you, he loves to be trusted by sinners for whom he died. Notice the first blessing. The forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful thing this is. The greatest blessing that can come to a man. Sins, and don't hurry by that word, dear friend. Sins. You have sins, and they are your very own. In fact, your whole history could be covered by that one word, sins, as seen by God. And he's seen everything. And don't forget that when everything else is gone, your friends and your pleasure, your health and your business, your sins remain. You cannot deny your sins. You cannot charge your sins to somebody else. They are your own, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are some sins that you would like to forget and blot out. But, dear friend, no regrets, no efforts, how religious they might be, no tears, how real they might be, can remove the scarlet stain of your sins. But there is one door of hope. There is one remedy for sins. And the remedy for sins is found in this blessed person of the Son of God. How is this effected? Through his blood. When the sinner comes to the Lord Jesus, God receives him and puts his sins under the blood. This is why the Savior died, to shed his blood, that we might have remission from our sins. Through the shedding of the blood of Christ, atonement, a satisfying sacrifice, has been made. God has accepted this, and when the sinner comes to him by Jesus Christ, he forgives him. Who is this that forgives sins? They asked when Jesus said that man's sins were forgiven, the man who was sick of the palsy, the man whom he healed to show that he had power to forgive sins. Who is this that forgives sins? The blessed Son of God, dear friends, the same one who said to the woman that was a sinner that came to him in the Pharisee's house, she came to him at his feet weeping. And he said to her, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. Do you know this blessing? You may. It is not enough that you just simply believe in the fact of the forgiveness of sins. It is necessary for your blessing to possess the forgiveness of your sins. You may have the forgiveness of your sins in this blessed one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Word of God says that whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. This is God's Word. This is one of the blessings of the children of God. I write unto you, John the Apostle says, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Don't rest until you know the forgiveness of your sins. And you may have the forgiveness of your sins right now, where you are, by coming in simple faith to the Lord Jesus and accepting him as your Savior. The second blessing is linked with this. It's the blessing of redemption, in whom we have redemption. Again, I would point out to you, it's the present possession of this blessing that is true of the children of God. It implies deliverance from every enemy, from sin, from Satan, from self. And it's a deliverance that has been effected by the paying of a price. And it is in the person of the Son of God. The children of God, all children of God, have this deliverance. This is what is common, I say, to all who have trusted Christ. Now, first of all, it implies a redemption of the soul now. That is, everyone who trusts in Christ has redemption of his soul. That is, he is saved. He no longer belongs to the world. He has been delivered from sin, from Satan and self, and he belongs to his Redeemer, the one who has paid for him, ransomed him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you this redemption? If you've trusted Christ, you have. Also, further, it pledges the redemption or the deliverance of the bodies of the believers. Now, this is what we wait for. We wait for the redemption of our bodies. And when will this be? It'll be at the second coming of Christ. The one who died on the cross, dear friend, and rose again is in the glory. When the moment we trust in him, we have the redemption of our souls. We're saved forever, and it's an eternal redemption. But we are assured that the one who lives in the glory is coming for us. Those who have died in Christ shall have their bodies raised. Those who are living when he comes, and it may be today, will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall have our bodies changed into a body such as his own body of glory. This will be the redemption of our bodies. We have this, It is pledged to us because the Savior lives. We shall live also. Dear friend, your redemption and the redemption of the children of God is in this beloved Savior. It's not in yourself. Don't look for it in yourself. Turn your eyes from yourself. Don't look to the preacher. Look to the Lord Jesus. It's by faith in Him. He is the one in whom we have, possess now and forever, that which He has purchased for us by His work at Calvary, a full eternal redemption of body, soul, and spirit. You may have the assurance of this now by accepting Him and be at peace and have joy through believing. The third blessing of the children of God mentioned in these verses in Colossians 1 is this: who hath, again, the present possession, you notice, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh, what a blessing this is. You know, the world is the realm of darkness. It's ruled, enslaved by Satan, its God, and its prince. It's a world, a system of things away from God, a system that hates God, that doesn't want God, a world that has crucified the Son of God. It's a system that is powerful. It holds men in its awful power and bondage as they speed on to the lake of fire. Dear friend, is that you? Am I talking to someone who is still of this world? You're going on in it to a Christless eternity? Friend, awaken to your need. The world in which you are has not changed since it crucified the Son of God. It's doomed for judgment, but you may be delivered from it now. The blessed Son of God, in whom we have redemption, is the one who will deliver you. God loves you. He sent His Son and gave Himself at Calvary to deliver us from this present evil world, from all the darkness of this world. And to do what? To translate us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What a place is this? A place of light, place of peace, place of joy, place of security. And what a master He is. What a king He is. It's either one king or the other. You're either in the kingdom of Satan or in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Remember that now. You may be delivered if you will allow this Redeemer to save you. You trust in Him. You come to Him. You believe that He died for you. He will translate you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The fourth blessing that the children of God has is this: giving thanks to the Father who hath made us meet or fit to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a wonderful thing it is to have this assurance that we who have been ruined and defiled by sin, nothing but rags, filthy rags, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, the language that the prophet Isaiah uses in describing the sinner away from God. And yet, you know, the wondrous provision of God in His salvation makes the sinner fit for the presence of a holy God in the glory. Oh, what grace this is. Well, indeed, might we give thanks to the Father. What a blessing this is. Perhaps the blessing is best illustrated by the story of the prodigal, the one who wanted his substance, and his father gave it to him, and he took it into a far country and wasted it. We know the story. Perhaps it's your history. If you're not saved, I trust you will recognize that it is. If you're not a child of God, I trust that you will see that if you are not delivered from this present evil world, if you are still in the rags of your own sinful making, you're away from God. Well, this prodigal finally came to himself and made a decision to arise and go to his father and say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." Have you ever said that to your God? Oh, may you realize your need. And then be assured that what was true of this prodigal will be true to you. What is that you say? As soon as he made his decision to arise and go to the Father saw him a great way off and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Dear friend, God the Father wishes your blessing. He's waiting to receive you. He's waiting to have you to be reconciled to him. You're away from him. Coming in repentance and in faith into Jesus Christ will bring you this reconciliation and the kiss of the Father. And then what does the Father say? He says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The fitness to come into the Father's house is provided. And this is what our God does for every returning sinner. There's a welcome that awaits you, and there's a robe of righteousness that the Father provides when you come to him by Christ. In fact, that robe is Christ himself, who is our fitness, not our own works, not our own turning over leaves. No, dear friend, it is Christ himself in whom we have redemption. In his finished work, we have that which provides the necessary means of our forgiveness and redemption, and in himself and all his righteousness, we have that which fits us for the presence of a holy God forever. Tell me, are you fit? You may be. All you need do is right where you are now. Bow your heart to him. Tell him that you have sinned, and accept Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, as your Savior. Will you not do that? Then you will become a child of God. And these blessings that we have read in Colossians 1, verses 12, 13, and 14, will be your property too, your inheritance. God grant that this will be true of every listener, for your sake, dear hearer, and of course, above all, for the glory of God and the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Loving God our Father, grant that the precious word of God, which is thy power to salvation in the gospel, will by thy Holy Spirit today be used to bring this blessing of wealth to every listening friend for the honor and glory of thy beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.